Chapter and the last in our series, as I said. And the theme for the chapter is really rededication. The call of God to the Israelites to rededicate themselves to Him. And maybe there are some of us here, maybe all of us, need to rededicate our lives to Christ. Hosea was written. This book was written by Hosea 2,700 years ago. He preached these words during the chaotic period just before the fall of the nation in 722 BC. It's believed from the way it's written that Hosea was quite a rich man, but he was also a man of deep compassion, strong loyalty, and keen awareness of the political events taking place in the world at that time. As a prophet, he was committed to God. And he prophesied to a seemingly insignificant people in the Near East, the people of Israel. Insignificant because they were very tiny. All the other nations were much bigger and more famous in those days. Israel was just one little nation. And yet, all those nations have passed and gone. But Israel remains still, and here we are 2,000 miles away reading the words of the prophets to that little country. And people all over the world today, from China to India to America, in Africa and here, have been considering verses from the Bible, the book of the Israelites. Are they relevant to us in Scotland in 1996, China in 1996? I've tried in these past weeks to show that it's relevant not only for the Israelites, but for all nations and peoples and churches in all ages, because it is the very word of God. What does Hosea himself say in the very last verse of this chapter, the last verse of the book? I'm going to read the Living Bible translation, which instead of saying who, as it does in your translation, says whoever, which is actually more accurate. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is intelligent, let him listen. For the paths of the Lord are true and right, and good men walk among them. The Bible is about actual people and actual events, just as it speaks to actual people, you and me, and actual events in our lives. It's not just blessed thoughts to make us feel better. It speaks to our very lives today. And this last chapter reminds us of various themes earlier in the book as he draws his message to a close. He tells us to rededicate ourselves, not just because we think it might be a nice thing to do, but because God calls us to him in love and grace and wishes us to respond. Verse 1, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Before we go forward in life, we have to return. And the word return in the New Testament is the word repent. Come back to where you belong. Come home. And then you can go out again in strength. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Augustine said, thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. I was reading these words a week or so ago, these words from a man who was brought up to believe that there is no God. He was taught by his school, by his parents, and by his government, within Russia, that there is no God. This is what he said. There are many people like me who are atheists, not because we chose to be atheists, but because we were victims of circumstances. We knew nothing else. And this atheistic teaching was forced upon us. We accepted it because we had nothing else to hear and nothing else to believe. Now, for the first time, I hear something of a positive nature about the Bible, about God, about faith in God. To tell you the truth, what you believers are saying makes a lot more sense than what the atheistic teachers taught us all those years. After 6 weeks of hearing things about God and about faith, I am now at the place where my heart is crying out to say, I believe. In this book of Hosea, we've read of the warm, loving appeal of a husband to his wife who's become unfaithful, and the warm, loving appeal of a father to his prodigal son. Return, O Israel. Now the Hebrew word that is translated, O Israel, is warm and emphatic in its pleading. It is God who earnestly and warmly calls us to belong to him. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. He is ours. Just like a husband and wife belong to one another, or children and parents belong to one another, so we belong to God and he belongs to us. We can say he is ours. And it's not just a way of speaking. Not just an affectionate way that God has of speaking towards us, like the bus conductor who says to you, hello dear or hello darling, just as an affectionate way of addressing you when you get on and pay your fare. Or hello sonny. No, when God calls us his dear people, it is because we really are one with him through Christ, who became one with us. And Hosea shows us that in spite of all our waywardness, God does not break the family bonds. There's been a separation in the marriage. There's been an alienation even from the children. But God does not break up the family. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. In verse 2, he says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Take words with you. When you want to be reconciled to someone, you've got to say something to them. You've got to actually speak to them. And this is what you've got to say. The verse says, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. When we return to God, the words we speak do matter. And we have to say sorry and publicly commit ourselves to the Lord. Which reminds me of the New Testament words from Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And our hearts and our voices, our words, need to be in harmony. We mustn't be a hypocrite saying one thing with our mouths and at the same time our hearts being in a different place. Someone was saying about the hymns that people sing. We sing that, I don't know if we've ever sung it in St. David's, but you've heard of the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and are content with 1 minute per day. Or we sing, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, and we don't use the one tongue we have to praise and to anybody. We sing, There shall be showers of blessing, but do not come to church when it rains. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds, but we let the least little thing break that tie. We sing, I love to tell the story, but we've never mentioned it to anybody. We sing, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and we worry ourselves and have a nervous breakdown. We sing, the whole wide world for Jesus, and we've never invited anybody to come to church with us. Nor should we be secret believers, ashamed to speak what our hearts believe, unwilling to openly serve God. Because this verse talks about the fruit of our lips. meaning our worship together, what we're doing this evening and what we did this morning. Every Sunday we not only listen to the preacher, but we let our lips pray, praise, and confess. And having done that, we receive these beautiful words in verse 4. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. God loves us freely, that means unconditionally. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let no one here think that they're too great a sinner for the love of God. God loves us unconditionally. The New Testament word for this is grace. By grace you are saved, not of your own good works. It's by his grace. My anger has turned away. Remember, his anger had been expressed earlier in the book, I will love them no more. But now the same Lord says, I will love them freely. And Israel, in all its history, from then and before then, right to this present day, has experienced both these things, God's anger and his anger turned away from them, in special intensity, probably greater than any other nation, both blessing and also anger, because they're chosen to represent us all in a specially intense way. And it's out of that intense relationship that God brings salvation to the world. Intense judgment and intense mercy, woven together throughout their history. And it reaches its fulfillment when Christ, who represents them all, on the cross, experiences that great judgment when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And also at the same time can say in love and mercy, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So his death bears away all our guilt and separation from God, so that through him our spirits are committed to the Father forever. And if that is the case, then God will raise him from the dead. And so God did raise him from the dead, and we are raised with him from the dead. Now Hosea, in the second part of the chapter, moves away from the theme of the family to the theme of the gardener and the garden. Look at verse 5, 6 and 7. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. Life for this garden is the dew, the living water, spoken of in Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22, the river of the water of life that brings healing to the nations. But here Hosea speaks of the water of life as the dew of God. And both speak of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus on that great feast day stood up and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He spoke of the Holy Spirit that those who believed in him would receive. All our own efforts at rededicating ourselves to God are useless without the Holy Spirit. May he come upon us in power and life. And this living water brings to the plants in the garden, firstly, a freshness. Hosea speaks of blossom, fragrance, beauty, shade. Let our church in St. David's be fresh. Let us not get stale or stagnant or in a rut. I was reading of the seven deadly sins of stagnation. They were in a Christian newspaper. One, we've never done it that way before. Two, we're not ready for that. Three, we're doing okay without it. Four, we tried that once before. Five, it costs too much. Six, that's not our responsibility. Seven, it just won't work. If you or I are making comments like these, very often, do something about it now, said the Christian magazine, if because stagnation is coming if you're not careful. On the other hand, we're not just seeking novelty, we also have to have stability. The living water enables the plants also to be rooted in the Bible and the apostles and the prophets, with freshness on the one hand and stability on the other. There comes vigor. The shoots, verse 6 says, will grow, spread out in growth. Hosea also uses the figure of the vine in the garden, reminding us of how Jesus took up that theme in the New Testament 700 years later when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Through Christ, we're the planting of the Lord. The vine must be pruned in order for it to bear much fruit. What in your life and my life needs to be cut back in order for us to bear more fruit? It doesn't mean that everything that has to be cut back is something bad that we're doing. It might be something that isn't bad, but nevertheless is sapping our energy when we should be using our energy for something else that God wants us to do. That's why we need to be pruned. Lastly, the final appeal, O Ephraim, O Israel. It's a cry of God in pain and love, reminding us of King David, who after his rebellious and wicked son Absalom had been killed in battle, David said, O Absalom, my son, O Absalom, my son. Or Jesus, when he looked over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your people together as a hen gathers her chicks. And what does he say to us? O John, O Mary, O Jim, O Janet, O David, O Scott, O Britain, O world. Verse 9 again, this time in the Good News Bible version. May those who are wise understand what is written here, and may they take it to heart. The Lord's ways are right, and righteous people live by following them. But sinners stumble and fall because they ignore them. Let us pray. Almighty God, we seek thy will for our lives, and we return to thee, the source of all life. May our fellowship and lives together be deep and rooted, and may our Christian lives be fresh and new, that thy name may be honored, and many, many people blessed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.